One more thing before I begin. I want to ask our students. This is a little pop quiz question. Here we go, very quickly. According to the book of Revelation, when we get to heaven and we see Jesus, he will be clothed in what of living color? I want to see if how many of you all remember. According to the book of Revelation, he's clothed in what of living color? Anybody know? Clothed in of living color? Anybody in the audience know? Rainbows. You guys know that? Clothed in rainbows of living color? How many of you guys know that now? Do you remember now? You remember? All right, very good. All right, keep that in mind. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. So let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing. He's a mighty man of valor, a man of war. He's prudent in speech, a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Continuing our series into the look of the beauty of holiness, I want to preach to you today, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. God has been dealing with me about this message and this topic, and let's ask the Lord to speak to us today. God, I thank you for your precious spirit, for the miracles you have already worked in this service and this house. Thank you, God, for how you have visited us in such a real and powerful and tangible way. Speak to us today, Lord, I pray. Let the Holy Ghost do something great and powerful and mighty and awesome among us. I ask you today, Lord, that you would minister to us and speak your word of life to us and through me what you've laid on my heart. Help us, Lord, I pray, to glorify you through the music we listen to. Help us to glorify you through the music we sing. We ask you today, God, have your way. Speak in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Fifth grade changed my life. And it had nothing to do with adding fractions. Fifth grade, we were given the choice to play an instrument, a musical instrument. The band director told me, he said, you've got a good stiff upper lip. I think you should play the oboe. I have no idea if that was a compliment. But before me, there was an array of musical instruments I could choose to play. I could play the flute, clarinet, the oboe, the trombone, the trumpet, the sax, the drums. Utica wasn't a big budget school then, so no cellos or violins. But one Saturday, our family was out garage sailing in St. Louisville, and we came across a $50 cornet. I've never heard of a cornet, and I don't think I had ever heard a cornet. But as you can see on the screen, a cornet is kind of like a trumpet that somebody left out in the rain and it just shrunk down. It looks like a trumpet, plays like a trumpet, but it only costs $50. So Mom and Dad bought it. And I was off to start my budding career as a musician. Have you ever heard a fifth grader try to learn how to play a brass instrument? And your therapist tells you, you'll make a full recovery. My family, we lived in a 114-foot long house that was converted from a motel. My family sent me to my room at the far north end of the house, while their earbuds or eardrums sought sanctuary in the far south end of the house. Some days they even sent me all the way to the backyard so I could practice my scales out there. But that trumpet, that cornet, birthed within me a love for music. I started playing music because the band offered it, and now I could have free lessons every week. I imagine David started playing because he was bored watching sheep sleep every week. What's a shepherd to do when there are no lions or tigers or bears? Oh my. To snatch away the little lost lambs from the flock. when sheep are just grazing and snoozing. So at some point, David picked up a harp and he started playing his harp. And at first, it sounded kind of like me learning how to play a D on a trumpet. Sounded like a cat chasing a squirrel up a chalkboard. But after a little while and a few more tries and some practice, David got pretty good at it. He learned the strings, he learned the chords, and he started to sound pretty good. Never did have much of an audience being in the meadow, but there were times when it was just David, his trusty flock, and his trustworthy God. And David played his harp for his God. Meanwhile, back at the palace, King Saul was changing day by day. He was more irritable, more frustrated, easily angered, very paranoid. Something was clearly wrong. Saul was no longer on God's side. And Scripture tells us a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled Saul. And so when his servants saw what was happening to their boss, they knew what could right the wrong. Music. In 1697, William Congreve said, "Music hath charms to soothe the savage beast, to soften rocks, or bend a knotted oak." So they asked King Saul if he would let them search out a musician who could come and play, somebody as skillful on the harp as he was with the sword, and Saul gave them the nod. So one of them spoke up and said, "Hey, I know a guy. Was down at the farmer's market a couple weekends ago, and he was out there playing a harp, had a little shepherd's bag. We tossed a few shekels in. He's really good. I think he can help. He's Jesse's son. He lives in Bethlehem. He's skillful on the harp. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a man of war. He's prudent in speech. He's handsome, and the Lord is with him." That's a resume. So they brought David. So they brought David into the throne room to meet King Saul. They saw him. He's visibly tense, sitting on the throne, teeth clenched, arms crossed, a death grip on that javelin in case anybody tried to cross him. But as David strummed a few chords on that harp, something visibly happened to Saul. He relaxed his jaw. He unfolded his arms, set his javelin aside. He leaned back and closed his eyes. And if you look close enough, you could even see a smile form on his face. Because music has amazing power on the mind. God was arranging a meeting between the first king of Israel, Saul, and the next king of Israel, David. But I also believe God was showing us in this story the power music has on the mind. Because the brain releases a pleasure chemical called dopamine whenever we listen to music. Some research suggests dopamine even simulates the effect of meth on the mind. It's the same chemical release whenever you open up a bag of potato chips. You reach in and you grab one. You take a bite. Your brain sends dopamine coursing through your body that says, "That's good stuff. You need more of that." A few years ago, Lay's laid down the gauntlet. Does anybody remember this ad campaign? Bet you can't eat just one. They dared us to open up a bag of chips, reach in, grab one, and walk away. Because they understood, you can't do that. I thought, I can do that. I haven't had a chip all day. I'll take one bite of a chip. I'll walk away from it, and I can eat just one. So I did. I cracked open a bag of chips. I reached in, grabbed one, said thank you, Lord, for it first, of course. Took a bite, and I could not eat just one. My brain sent dopamine rushing through my body like white water that says, "Hey, that's good stuff. You need more of that." All you cheesecake lovers, I dare you to go to Polaris today. Look at the 37 cheesecake choices on their menu. Order your favorite. Take one bite. Push it away and tell the server, "That's all I wanted." Your brain won't talk to you for a week. Because our brain releases dopamine that says, "That's good stuff. You need more of that." It's the same dopamine that we receive when we hear a song we like. And it causes us to tap our foot or clap our hands or sway a little bit to the beat. Sometimes it's the brain saying, "Hey, that's good stuff. You need to listen to more of that." But what happens when it's not good stuff? What happens when the lyrics you hear and even sing, what happens when they cross swords with the Word of God and the way we should live? This is what happens. Often the brain will sacrifice the purity of the lyrics for the pleasure of the song. And if you're not careful what you hear, you'll find yourself singing songs you don't even believe just because you like the beat and it's got a catchy tune. When we were a youth pastor, our students in Florida, they were starting to struggle a little with the relationship with God, the relationship with one another. So they started accepting some things they used to reject. They started living some ways they used to loathe. And I started looking closer into their life, and I started to see the fingerprints of media all over their life. That what they were watching and what they were listening to was affecting who they were at their very core. And they were starting to question things they knew to be true and right. So on one Wednesday night, I was trying to find out what the best way to do this. And on a Wednesday night, when they came in for youth group, I had printed off the graphics and lyrics from 10 of their favorite songs from different genres. And on that Wednesday night, our youth group was a music studio. And we looked at each one of those songs to see if a spirit-filled, born-again believer should be listening to and singing each of those songs. And as they looked at each song, they had to answer 5 questions. What is the song's message? What mood does the song create? Are there any curse words in the song? Are the graphics on the cover acceptable? And is the song neutral? Or does it draw me closer to God? Or does it push me farther from Him? And I was ready for a fight. I knew it, especially a couple of our kids. I knew it. They were going to argue with me. I was ready for, oh, come on, Brother Harry, man, don't mess with our music. I was ready for a fight. I knew they would argue. It's just music. We don't listen to the lyrics. We just like the beat. We don't even know what it says. It's not a big deal. But they didn't. In fact, some of those students looked at those lyrics and looked at those graphics, and they were shocked, and even some of them ashamed of what they'd been listening to and singing. And some of them said, Brother Harry, I didn't realize there were that many cuss words in that song. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that song was telling me I should do this or I should say that. I found myself, and probably you have either, even singing songs while I walk through the stores because I hear them over the intercom in the stores, and I don't even know the songs more. And I look up the lyrics, I'm ashamed because I didn't realize the message I was sending while I was singing. I encourage you. I dare you to go on Google and look up the lyrics to the songs on your playlist. I encourage you to go to your Pandora channel, your Spotify mix, or your iTunes. And I encourage you, take a look at the lyrics. Read through the lyrics of the songs you're listening to and hearing and singing. And ask yourself if this is a song a spirit-filled, born-again believer should be listening to and singing. Ask yourself, would you be embarrassed if you're walking through Marshall's and you start singing one of the songs that's on your playlist? Ask yourself, would you be embarrassed walking through the sanctuary singing one of the songs that's on your playlist? You see, the mission of our church is twofold. Number one, we glorify God, and secondly, we make disciples. And we glorify God through music. We glorify through Him through our song. But we cannot glorify Him with music here and glorify sin out there with music. James makes it clear the same water cannot pour bitter, or the same fountain cannot pour bitter and sweet water. That's not just what we say, that's also what we sing. So let me beat this drum again. We need more Christians singing out there. I'm really glad we can sing about Jesus in here, but the world needs to hear our song about Him out there. So I am deputizing you to go into Kroger and Walmart and Rue 21 and go into Peebles and sing your song. The songs we sang up here, go out and sing them out there. You're not a studio singer, neither am I. I've heard every singing slam for the last 30 plus years. I'm used to it. But the world needs to hear our song. We glorify Him partly through our music, so sing it out there, not just in here. Done beating that drum. Now also, let me silence a myth. Not everything that is not labeled Christian is harmful to our relationship with God. There are some songs that are just neutral. They don't draw us closer. They don't push us farther. At the same time, not everything labeled Christian is always helpful in our relationship with God. We need to be careful, little ears, what we hear. If we are to guard our heart, we need to guard our ears, because music can shape what we believe, what we want, what we accept, and even what we do. Researchers let the participants listen to a short piece of music. Then they showed them a lineup of faces, of photos of faces that were completely expressionless, no emotion on the face at all. And they asked them, can you tell me if that face is happy or sad? And the ones who were listening to an upbeat song said the faces were happy. And the one listening to a melancholy song said the faces were sad. Because music has the power to paint the way we see the world. Scientists even show us that music creates desires in us we may not realize. And many times they are desires we cannot satisfy in a pure way. I've heard stories of young men and even young ladies who are battling with what they're looking at online. And they don't seem to be able to have victory over pornography, no matter how many times they pray or how many times they cry. But many times when you take a close look, many times they're listening to songs that stir up desires in them that cannot be satisfied in a pure way. And the music stirs up a passion that cannot be satisfied in a pure way. So if you're struggling with what you're looking at, I encourage you to take an honest look at what you're listening to. If you're listening to songs that stir up passions within you that can't be satisfied in a pure way, you need to stop listening to those songs and start listening to songs that are going to draw you closer back to God. And ask God to deliver you from those habits and ask His Spirit to take control of those desires. Music has incredible power. It has the awesome power to glorify God, but it also has awesome power to glorify sin. David did not just have a one-time pass to the throne room. Each time that distressing spirit from the Lord came on Saul, he called for David. David played the harp, played his song, and that distressing spirit left Saul. By the end of the day, Saul was better because of the soft music from David's harp. Studies show us people who listen to soft music, like classical music, have less anxiety in their life, solely because of the music. Studies have shown a slower beat and a softer sound slows our heart rate and lowers our blood pressure. God designed incredible power into music. We love music. We love it here. But music was not created here. Music was created by God in heaven to glorify Him. Long before the first single syllable from the first human voice, Job tells us the morning stars shouted, or they sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. Music was created by God in heaven in the beginning to glorify Him. And when all of this is over and we gather around the throne, according to Revelation 5, we are going to sing a new song to worship, because music has power to say what words alone can never say. So when we go to worship the Lord, we won't just use our words. We will combine language with lyrics and music, and we will sing a new song to worship. Because music has power to say what words can never say. Now back to our pop quiz question at the beginning. I ask our students, according to the book of Revelation, when we see Jesus in heaven, He'll be clothed in what of living color? And rainbows. That's not in the book of Revelation. That's not even in the Bible. That comes from the lyrics of a song we sing here called Revelation Song. That He is clothed in rainbows of living color. Music has the power, hear me, to paint what we believe about God. Because music is memorable and it can say what words alone can never say. That's why Martin Luther said or believed the Reformation would only be complete when everybody had a Bible in one hand and a hymnal in the other. Because the Bible will help us to understand our faith, and the hymnal will help us to express our faith. Music has power to say what words alone can never say. We know Solomon wrote Proverbs. We know he wrote 3,000 Proverbs. But did you know he also wrote 1,005 songs? Because music can say what words alone can never say. And when we use music as God designed it, music will glorify Him. And music will edify us. It will lift Him up. And in the process, it will lift us up. That's why you can come in here on a Wednesday night after working like a one-armed drywall hanger, fall into one of those posh chairs, and at 7:30 when the musicians and the singers start, immediately, just like that, you feel the presence of God. What is that? That's God bathing music with His Spirit. And drawing us closer to Him, edifying us, glorifying Him through the power of music. Music has power on the mind, and it has power on our mood. That is why we must be very careful, little ears, what we hear. I remember when I was a teenager, Lord Jesus, 22 years ago, a few of my friends started singing a song, Check Yes or No. Have you ever heard that song before? I never heard that song as a 16-year-old. But most of my friends had heard it. They were singing it. They knew the lyrics. I went looking for it. And this was on the day before there was Google or Siri. And yes, there was such a day before there was Google or Siri. I went looking for that song and I found the lyrics. In fact, I started listening to T100, to country music. Yeah, Mom didn't know that apparently. So I could know the lyrics to the song. Before long, it seemed like all I listened to was T100. Exclusively when I was going to school in the morning and coming home from school in the afternoon. I even bought CDs of country songs. Pretty soon, all I was listening to was country music outside of the sanctuary. And pretty soon, I could sing most of the lyrics to most of the songs. And pretty soon, I noticed something happened in my life. I noticed my mood started to change. Even to this day, 22 years later, if I hear a song, a country song that I used to sing back in that day during that 1 year of my life, I can sing the chorus, and most of the time I can sing the verse because music is so memorable and it says what words alone can never say. But during that time, I noticed this change in my life. I was more melancholy than usual, not quite as happy, not quite as excited. And I chalked it up to a rough sophomore year of school, taking college biology, geometry, and Spanish 2. So that alone, plus when you combine that with the fact that my voice hasn't changed yet, so I'm still a soprano, and I still have a terrible lisp, I figured that's probably what's going on. But I remember one night I was driving home from church, and I could take you to the place on Route 13 just as you make the turn before you get to Irish Hills Golf Course, and I was crying my eyes out because I was listening to T100, and I was listening to a song about a guy and a girl who were dating, and I was so depressed that I'm an old lonely bachelor at 16. Now, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but hear me today when I tell you. There were several times I'm driving down the road and I wondered, would anybody miss me if I was gone? Several times driving down the road listening to T100, and I wondered, what would it be like if I just drove this car off the side of the road? Would anybody even care if I was gone? I didn't realize where those thoughts were coming from. I really did think it was just from school and everything. But I remember one night, on a Saturday night, I came up here. I parked my car at Riverside Park, and I just was, before that, I was just driving aimlessly around Mount Vernon, not going to see anybody, not going to do anything, didn't have any money to buy anything. And I'm just driving aimlessly around Mount Vernon. Finally, I parked at Riverside, and I just walked down the sidewalks, wondering, what in the world am I doing? I can't explain, I can't describe depression that was over me and on me. And as I started walking, God started dealing with me about the messages that I've been pumping into my mind for the last 12 months. And I began to see the effect music was having on me. I began to see the power music was having on me. And I walked from Riverside Park. I walked all the way down Chestnut Street. I got all the way up to Main Street. And by the time I got to Main Street, God had been dealing with me about, you need to sing something that's going to glorify me and not just depress you for the rest of your life. So I started just walking down there, and I didn't know a whole lot of new choruses, so I went back old school in my mind. I went back to some of those old hymns. I'm walking down the sidewalk, and I just started singing, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. Now, I sang that in here. Somebody listen to me. 1 hour of singing in here does not overcome 100 hours of singing whatever it is you're singing out there. So I start singing, oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to reach. I don't know where I was, but at some point on that lonely walk while I was singing to glorify him, that darkness and depression broke over me. And I realized God did not give me ears just to pump things into my mind that will either depress me or discourage me or distress me. But He gave me ears to be able to hear a message and a song that will glorify Him. And He gave me a mouth that lift up and bless His name. And so I decided from that day on, I'm going to be careful what I hear. I'm going to be careful what's on my playlist. I'm going to be careful what I'm listening to in the car and on the radio. Because what I hear has incredible power over how I feel and what I believe and even what I do. I thank God. When we use music as it was designed, it will glorify Him and it will edify us. Thank God. Thank God. Would you stand with me? Today's altar call, it's going to be kind of one of those that the real altar call happens when you get back either to your seat or to your car or you get back home. Today's altar call will begin at this altar, but it only ends when you do your homework. So it's one of those projects where you actually have to do some homework. In fact, if you come to the altar and you just pray and shed some tears or say, God, I'm sorry for some stuff I've been listening to, but you're not willing to go home and take an honest look at your Pandora or Spotify or iTunes or Musical.ly or your playlist, then you've not done anything to right the wrong in your relationship with God. So here's what I want us to do. If you listen to music at all, especially if you listen to it on your phone or you listen to it on your iPod or you listen to it on your phonograph player, spinning those 33s at home. I'm asking you, if you listen to it, especially on your phone, I'm asking you to bring your phone to the altar with you. Now, obviously, you're going to bring your phone to the altar. Nobody leaves their phone in their seat. Everybody, this is like oxygen. If I don't have it with me, I cannot survive. But I want you to bring it purposely to the altar, not just in your pocket or your purse, but I want you to bring it purposely with you to the altar. And I want you to spend some time in prayer before God and say, God, I want you to examine me and I want you to help me to know some things I've been listening to, some things I've been allowing to affect my life. And when you're finished praying, I want you to take your phone out and just go through your playlist, go through your whatever app you use to listen to music, and just start looking at the album covers, looking at the lyrics. And if that's a song that doesn't glorify Him, doesn't bring you closer to Him, it's not neutral, but it actually pushes you farther or causes you to believe a message that you ought not believe, I'm asking you, I believe the Lord is asking you to delete that song off of your playlist or out of your app and tell the Lord, I won't listen to that anymore. I don't care if everybody else in school's listening to it. I don't care if it's the number one song for 5 weeks in a row. If it doesn't benefit him or me in some way, then I'm going to delete it off my phone. I want you to bring it with you and ask the Lord today. If it glorifies you, I'll keep it. If it edifies me and glorifies you, I'm going to keep it. If it's neutral, I'll keep it. But if it pushes me farther from you, I'll delete it. If you'll make that promise and that vow, would you come today to this altar? Bring your phone with you. Bring your iPod with you. Bring your record player with you. Ask the Lord today. Ask Him to help you to fill your ears and your mind and your heart with a song and a message that's going to glorify Him. It's going to edify and bless and help you to help others. Today we need to examine what we're listening to and what we're singing. Let's take some time right now at this altar to spend it with the Lord.